stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw a woman drunken with blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we certainly do thank you for your wonderful grace, your mercy, your goodness to us. We thank you for the Bible, God's wonderful word. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of reading it tonight. And Lord, help me as I preach. You know the need of this preacher tonight, and I ask you, God, to help me and empower me, Lord, and give me the wisdom I need and do that which needs to be done. And Lord, then when all is said and done, we'll sure remember to praise you for it and thank you for your goodness and kindness to us. Thank you for who you are and how great and wonderful you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So we start the 17th chapter. I think I've mentioned a few times the 17th and 18th chapters deal with the judgment of Babylon. It's become my belief that the 17th chapter is the judgment upon the religious Babylon, and the 18th chapter is the judgment on the commercial Babylon. And I don't know whether how many has ever read the book. I've read it many, many years ago. It was called The Two Babylons. It was written by Alexander Hislop. And I don't know whether any of you has read it or not. It's kind of hard reading in some degree, but it's a good book. He brings out a lot of good things in there, and he's one of them that indicates that more than likely there's two different cities that are involved in chapter 17 and chapter 18 as far as judgment is concerned. And I certainly think that's a good possibility. We're going to look tonight at the first part of chapter 17. And if you notice, it starts, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me. The seven angels, of course, back in chapter 16, we dealt some with it in chapter 15, prelude to chapter 16. But in chapter 16, we saw the seven angels come forth and pour out their vial. Now, the seventh angel, it doesn't say in chapter 17 which of the angels it is. It just says one of the seven. So certainly we do not know for sure, but I would think possibility it was the last angel, the seventh angel. And the reason I'm saying that is because he dealt with the vial that this great earthquake that also destroyed Babylon. And now he comes along in chapter 17 and is going to deal with the judgment of Babylon. If you notice back in chapter 16, verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven and from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake was so great, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, again, it doesn't make any difference which angel it is. God didn't choose to say it. Doesn't make a bit of difference. It's one of the angels, one of the seven angels that had the seven vials. I just probably think it's probably that seventh, because he's the one that dealt with the destruction of Babylon there in the last vial. But he comes forward, and of course, and he talks with him, saying unto me, Come hither. He says to John, Come hither. I will show unto thee, he said, the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. He's got something he wants him to see, and this judgment is very, very important. God takes a lot of time in his scripture. Two chapters here dealing with it. He spent quite a bit of time back in Isaiah and other books of the Bible, Ezekiel and some of those, describing this very judgment. But here he brings us with two different chapters here in the Word of God telling us about this judgment. One of the things I want you to notice as we go through chapter 17 and chapter 18, certainly the beast is presented, he's talked about, but he's not the predominant one. It is the woman. He is dealing with the woman and telling us about the woman. Now, he mentions the beast and tells us that the woman is riding upon the beast and those things, but in these two chapters, he's dealing with the judgment of Babylon. And so just wanted to make mention of that. The beast is very, very important, but here we view the woman that he's going to be talking about. I believe, if you'll notice here, he calls this the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. If you will notice in verse 15, he tells us what the waters represent. He tells us in verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. What he's saying to us here is that this great whore and the judgment that's going to come upon her sits upon all kinds of nations and peoples and tongues, multitudes of people. Now, what we want to try to do is share with you, because I personally believe, and I believe it's very scriptural, I believe what we're dealing with, and I'm going to preface it before I say what I was going to say, but I'm going to preface it with simply this. You go back to the city of Babylon, which we may do in a few moments, when the beginning of the Babel worship, back when Nimrod began it, was the beginning of the false religion, the idolatry religion. That has continued on up through. That has been from then. So what I'm saying to you is, what we're going to see in the end and the judgment here at the end is not just necessarily something that has just happened today or has been in existence for 100 years or even 1,000 years. This thing began way back. And we have to understand that this is where it all began, and God is mad at false religion. I wish we could get as mad as God gets about those who are out there teaching these false prophets that are out there teaching, and they're bringing false doctrine and all that. We need to get as mad as God gets about that. That's serious business. When you get away from the Bible, the Word of God, that is serious, serious business. And so what I'm simply going to say to you is this. I believe in evolution in this way. The evolution of the Babel religion that started way back with Nimrod, the evolution of it has come in our day and has been here for a long time in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, back when President Kennedy became president, they took the word bigot back out of mothballs and brought it in so that we could hear it, that anybody that was against President Kennedy because of his religion was a bigot. But there's a whole lot that needs to be against the Roman Catholic system. Now let me say this, listen to me. When you say something about the Roman Catholic Church, you think of some individual you know who's a Roman Catholic. What I'm talking about is the system and the beliefs that they have are absolutely from the pits of hell. And you better get a hold of it. And you better remember, because we are told not to say much about the Catholic. It's all right. They're just another group of people just trying to get to God like we are. Well, let me tell you something. They are false prophets. They teach false doctrine. And it's an abomination unto God to have that man over there in Rome say he's the vicar of Christ, the one who stands in the place of Christ on this earth. That's an abomination. You do not worship the Marys. You do not buy indulgences for sin. You do not do those things. That's unscriptural. It's ungodly. Now, you're thinking of some Catholic person you know that's very precious. I'm not talking about every certain individual Catholic. I'm talking about the system and the teaching of the Catholic Church is represented right here in this chapter. Now, remember, though, it's evolved from way back there in Nimrod's day. And it's come up, and today, of course, it has been there for a long time. The Roman Catholic system has been there a long time. And we're seeing today all of these very things that we're going to read about here has been evident in that system for many, many years. So it's evolved from way back here. All of that's included. Clear back in. And every false religion is included in this system, but it's all going to come to head under the Roman Catholic headship. All after, you see, after Christ raptures his church, the church, true church, is going to be gone. And even right now, before we are gone, you see now the gathering together back to Rome. Churches and organizations after organizations are going back and having dialogue with the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's happening in our day. When Christ raptures the church, let me say to you, after that, they're all going to some degree join together under its headship. The Roman Catholic right now has great power over, as we said in verse 15, the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. They have power and authority and influence over multitudes all over this world. I picked up Brother Luke Townsend. He gave me one of his little pamphlets that he has had made up telling about Dominion Republic, and one of the first things I read, religion, 95% Catholic. Now, you'll go to country after country after country, and you're going to find that very same thing. And at the same time, you're going to find the Muslims, you're going to find all these kind of people, but after the rapture of the church, there's basically going to be one head place for religion. And I believe the Word of God makes it very plain where that's going to be. I think he tells us, he gives us description of that, and not only that, he tells us that it is a city, this woman sets upon seven mountains. And that's how Rome sets. Seven mountains. Now, there's maybe other cities that set upon seven mountains. I think Rio de Janeiro, I think, does. I've been told that. But it doesn't meet any of the other criteria. There is no other city, no other place that meets the criteria of Rome. And I believe that God is talking about, and in fact, I'll go ahead and read the last verse of chapter 17. It says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Now, he said, the woman, he said, is that great city. But now, listen to me. That's representative not of just a city. It's representative of the people and the individuals in that city. Now, let me prove that from the Bible. When God said, the Lord said back on in Revelation, he was going to show us his bride. He took us and saw a city coming down out of heaven and called it the Holy Jerusalem. The city itself is not holy. It is because God made it, but it's the inhabitants. The city is not the bride of Christ, although he said he's going to show us the bride and he sees this city coming down. It's not the city itself that is the bride of Christ, but the inhabitants of that city. And it's the same thing he's talking about here when he talks about a city here being this great whore. He's not just talking about some buildings and concrete and boards and nails and all of those kind of things. He's talking about the inhabitants of that city. And so that woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. There is no other city that reigns over the kings of the earth like Rome does. And what I'm saying to that is their religious reign, religious control over the nations of the world. They have great power. They have great authority. The Pope spends more time in dealing with the kings of this world than he does with religious things. Has much more time. He goes all over the world dealing. In fact, years back, I can't remember what year it was, but there was a picture of President Reagan and the Pope together, and what it said underneath it, Holy Alliance. In other words, he has a great lot of power. I don't understand it all. I've done a lot of reading on it, but I don't understand all of it. But they said the fall of the communist bloc nations was basically due to the Pope. For he entered into all of that, and he has great power and influence around, and he got involved in that and helped bring communism as far as that down. Oh, you say that's a good thing. Yes, it's a good thing, but it's good that it came down, but it's not good that he did it. For he has power. And so what I'm trying to do is just try to share those things with you and help you to understand that I'm not trying to be blasphemous, not trying to be against anything. I'm telling you that when the church believes the way they believe in the system that they have and the way they believe and the things that they teach is absolutely unscriptural. Absolutely. And you need to get a hold of it. There's a man who has come out who used to be years and years ago a wonderful, wonderful, I believe, man of God. He's called the Walking Bible. Jack Van Impe has now come out, and most of the time he uplifts the Pope all the time. Just uplifts the Pope. I'm not being down on Jack Van Impe, but I don't understand those things. It's hard for me to understand. You can't uplift a man that teaches those things. He talks about Christ, but the things that he teaches and the things he teaches the people and all these things we talked about, the indulgence and all of these kind of things, that is unscriptural. That's against the Bible. And they themselves say they have more authority. The Pope has more authority than the Bible has. Now, folks, that's blasphemous. So what I'm trying to say to you is this. We're seeing a picture of that, but remember, sure, we're seeing it in this day, and sure, we're seeing the Roman Catholic Church and as it's evolved up through and all those things, but it came way back further than that. Came back clear from Nimrod in Babel. And remember that all of the false religions that we see today are going to be a part of this. Amen? They're going to be a part of it. So keep that in mind. Protestantism is going to be a part of it. You see, we've said it before and I hope you understand it. There's going to be many churches that will function just like before just like they did before the rapture. There's going to be some churches that will have a few members gone. There's going to have some other churches that will have a lot of members gone. There's going to be some that will not have any gone. You see, religion is going to go on, and the headship here is going to take over that, and I believe it's the Roman Catholic Church is what is going to take over all of it and bring them all together. That's why I say, because you see, they have a semblance of God. If we could, we'll get down into the last part of chapter 17. The beast whom the woman is riding so hates the whore that in the end of chapter 17, he literally destroys the woman and burns her and destroys her. You know why? Because they have somewhat of a semblance of God. It's false and all of that. But the Antichrist wants to be worshipped. And he will not allow anyone to be worshipped above him. And of course, his power comes from Satan. Satan wants to be worshipped. So again, I'm saying that. I'm saying it openly, with not any hesitation. I'm saying it's time people stood up and pointed to the truth of this thing. Don't get mad at Catholics. Get mad at their system and all of those cardinals and all of those popes and all of those things that are ruling that. Get mad at them. Don't be mad at some Catholic. Amen? Because we'll find out they're completely deluded. We'll find out that as not only the kings of the earth, but all the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of the fornication of this woman, this false religion. So you notice then, and it says in verse 2, he says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. I think there's something again, and I don't really know how to express it, to get it over to you, the seriousness of this fornication. I think we read that verse of Scripture. I think we just take it lightly. I believe we don't think a whole lot about it. But the problem is God thinks a whole lot about it. God is bringing a judgment upon those who absolutely will reject the Son of God as their personal Savior and will teach blasphemous things against the Bible, will teach those things. It's a horrible thing to God. And he says, this woman has caused the kings of the earth to commit fornication with her. And we're talking about spiritual fornication. If he says here about a city, he's not talking about physical fornication here. He's talking about a spiritual fornication. And we find that teaching all through the Word of God. That's why it's so important. It's so important that God's people stay close to God and don't walk away from God and get hooked up with some spiritual untruth, Bible or doctrines that man has brought in. Don't do that. You believe the Bible. You stick with the Bible. Don't get away from that. You see, that's so important. We look around and say, well, don't make a difference what this person believes and what that. Yes, it does. If it's not Bible, then it makes a big difference what they believe, you see. And so this woman had the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. And when you talk about being made drunk, you remember what we found out in Ephesians where be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we talked about drunk there, and speaking about being filled with the Spirit is be under the control of. What happens is the inhabitants of the earth are made drunk. In other words, they're under the control of this woman, this false religion. They're under her control, you see. You've heard this said, probably. The Catholic say, you give me a child for 7 years and they'll be a Catholic for life. You know why? Because they're made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They get completely under their control, this false teaching. Thank God there's Catholics that get saved. Thank God for that. There is. There's Catholics who come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Thank God for that. But let me say to you, it's a difficult thing to get one who's grounded in that belief to turn and receive Christ as their personal Savior. You know why? They're made drunk with wine. They're under control of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I will just say Babylon, the Babylon teachings. They've been under control of it. They're under the wine influence of that fornication. Now, he says, been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. If you remember, over in chapter 14, verse 8, it says, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornications. And again, if you'll take note, that there's just Catholic in just about every nation. Multitudes of nations are absolutely considered just Catholic nations. The United States of America has multitudes of Catholic in them. That false religion, that false belief is here in America just like it is in other countries, you see. So he said it's been the wine of her fornication. Now, what happens? Well, he says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, if you notice here that he's talking and given a description of this beast. Now, he's talking about the woman is sitting on the beast. But he gives a description of the beast. In other words, he wants us to know who this beast is. We've already met him. Well, not personally. We met him in the scripture. In chapter 12 of Revelation, verse number 3, he says, "There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon," that's the scarlet color, "having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns up on his head." Now he's going back and identifying this woman with Satan. Satan control. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. "And I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 7 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now the same thing is said over here about the woman, this false religion. He says here, "So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns." In other words, this is the beast, the kingdom of the beast, represented, of course, as Satan giving power to the beast, the Antichrist, and this is his kingdom, and the woman is sitting on this beast. When you sit on a horse, it's the horse that gives the rider the power to move. That's exactly what's happening here. It's the beast who has all the power and the ability to move, and the woman is just sitting on the beast. Now, at this point in the scripture, and let me try to pinpoint where I believe this happens. In the scriptures, we see the woman, which is the false church, which absolutely is here now, but it's going to come into preeminence after the rapture. Immediately after the rapture, you're going to see this false church. I believe it's in the middle of the tribulation period is where she is destroyed. And the reason I say that is because the Antichrist, in the middle of the tribulation period, takes up residence in the temple of God in Jerusalem and proclaims himself as God. Now, to do that, he's going to have to destroy that false religion. And he does that in the last few verses of chapter 17. We won't deal with that now. But he does that. He completely destroys her, you see. And then we find that the problem is this fornication thing, this abomination. In the Bible, when you see abomination, you usually find out that abomination is talking about idol worship. Most of the time when he talks about the abominations, he's talking about idol worship. God hates idol worship. God hates us getting away from the Bible. Now, folks, you've got to understand this. We've got to stick with the Bible. Not what you think, not what I think, not what man thinks, not what some religion thinks. We've got to stick with the Bible. What does the Bible say about a matter? That's what's important. And that's why we've got to stick with it. And all over the churches, all over this country, is walking away from the Bible. Yes, they are. Walking away from the Bible. Let me just ask you, just simple. It sounds like a simple thing. You know, let's take the Methodist Church, for instance. The Methodist Church. If a Methodist Church was singing some good songs, but maybe they didn't sing them like we sung them, or maybe they sung more songs than we do more singing, that's not something unscriptural. We may not like the way they do it, but that's all right. I mean, it's not something that's going to be blasphemous. Okay? Because some churches do things in such a way that probably me and you wouldn't do them, but you can't say they're unscriptural, they're blasphemous against God. They're against the Bible. Amen? Now, we don't want to do that, but if they do it, that's fine. But now, when you get into the certain Bible doctrines, teachings of the Bible, and one of them is, nowadays, they have women preachers. Now, that's against the Bible. Absolutely against the Bible. And that's where you've got to move in and say, oh no, No. We're not going to do that. That's against the teaching of the Bible. It's pretty hard for a woman to be the husband of one wife. Very difficult. Very hard. You see, you didn't find any of the apostles was women. Now, folks, that's not against women. This is just simply said, that's the way God set it up. Now, but what's happening today in the churches is, well, it's all right, Brother Ross, it doesn't make any difference, you know, and they try to find all kinds of reasons why it's all right for women to preach and pastor a church. That's ungodly. It's unscriptural. And any man that is a Bible believer, I cannot understand any man that would sit in a church where a woman is preaching. I can't understand that. Nothing within me can even comprehend that. And I don't apologize saying that. A man's a man. He ought to be a man. He ought to get his family out of that mess. Whether that's a Methodist, whether that's a Pentecostal, whether that's whatever it is, that's unscriptural. You see, and we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to believe in the Bible. Like I say, they can do things different than we do that are not unscriptural, and that's all right. But when they get into the Bible truths, when you get into sprinkling instead of immersing, that's unscriptural. It's just not right. You're supposed to immerse them. Get them underneath the water. Why? Because the Bible says so. Amen? And not only that, when you get into the doctrine of baby baptisms, that's unscriptural. Now, folks, these are serious business. I mean, you know, a lot of people are out there believing that one day they was baptized when they was a baby and they're all right. You know, the Catholic Church has made billions and billions of dollars by selling salvation. And we're supposed to teach against them. Another thing is salvation by works. Now, folks, the Catholic Church is known for the fact that that's how they really basically get salvation. It's by works. You either buy it or you work it. You know, back in the Old Testament, you remember the high places talked about in the Scriptures, and when godly kings would come into a place and take over, they'd tear down the high places. Well, you know, one of the problems with the high places was that you had to go up steps or you had to climb up something to get to a high place. That's works. And you'll find in the Scripture, God never done that. Even unto his altar, he made a ramp up to it if it had to go up high, because he didn't want no man's work involved in it. No work of man involved in it whatsoever. You can't do anything for your salvation. I can't do a thing for my salvation, not one bit. And yet we find this thing that's being passed around. You've got to get, the Church of Christ teaches that you must be baptized to get to heaven, to be saved. Listen to me, you do need to be baptized, but you don't do that to get to heaven. That's works. That's works. Anytime you can do something to help God get you to heaven, that's works. Amen? So I'm simply saying we've got to stay away from these things. We've got to look at it, and we've got to say, what does the Bible say about this matter? And if a Bible teaches certain things, we've just got to stick with it. And we can't just close our ear and be deaf to these false teachings, you see, because they're ungodly teachings. It's wrong, you see. And so what comes along is the Bible gets watered down. It gets the blood taken out of it. It gets the virgin birth taken out of it. It gets the deity of Jesus Christ taken out of it. Many of the songs nowadays in some of the churches has the blood all taken out of them. This is foolishness. And you see, that's what he's talking about when he talks about the fornication. It's spiritual fornication, and people has walked away from the Bible. Now listen, folks, independent Baptists, it's getting serious business with some of our independent Baptists. Now, we need to remember something. We just need to remember something. The Bible is our authority, period. And these people want to be liberal, let them be liberal. But boy, we can't be liberal. We've got to stick with the Bible. And when we get off from the Bible, we better straighten ourselves up. We better get right back to the Bible. We better find out what the Bible says, and we better do it. You see, so that's what fornication is. See, that's what happened. They've just spread this stuff all over the world, in nations and tongues and all over this world. They've spread all of that false religion, you see. And so they have so much control over individuals, and it's spreading in America all over the place. Not just Roman Catholicism, but Protestantism without a God, without the true God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's just spreading everywhere. Stand up for those things. Believe in the truth of the Bible. Stick with the truth of the Bible, you see. And so anyway, we find that this woman, and I don't think we'll go into verse number 4, but he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This woman is setting upon. When you're riding upon a horse, you are the one basically, or at least you think you are, in control. You're the one that's guiding the horse. That's the picture here. The woman supposedly is guiding the beast, but it isn't so. He's using her to control the masses of humanity. And whether you know it or not, Satan is not against religion. He's for it. And he's going to use it, especially, well, he is now, but he's going to use it the very first part of the tribulation period. He's going to use it to his benefit, and then he's going to destroy it. Because he wants all worship to come to him. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you again today for the grace of God, the wonderful goodness of the Lord, and thank you for who you are and how great you are, and thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And Father, help us always, Lord, to stick with the Bible. Help us to know, Lord, if we'd deviate from it whatsoever, we just need to get it straightened out and get right back where the Bible is, Father. Help us to do that, and help us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be that kind of church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.